Today's episode is brought to you by Grinding Coffee Co., a Black LGBTQ+ owned coffee business that donates a portion of every sale to charity. Coffee is imported from around the world, and they pride themselves on great customer service for a small team. Use promo code PLP22 for 10% off your order.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie and Matthew joined me. It is our first F1 race preview of the year. We might have some news to get to. I'll leave that to Frenchie, but first we have to go back to trivia. Hickey, feel free to join in, see if you can get this. I'm going to go with two questions here. The first one, John Alesi and what other driver raced for Ferrari during their horrible 1992 campaign?
Ivan Capelli or Yvonne Capelli.
Yep. And let's see here. How many races did Kiki Rosberg win during the 1982 World Championship that he won? All right.
Swiss Grand Prix won.
And where was the Swiss Grand Prix held that year?
Dijon-Prenois.
God damn it. All right.
He's French.
Yeah, I know. I should have known.
Also, we got another host, Doring.
Yeah. Fair. All right, well, I'm all flustered from Hickey calling me out on my, I don't know. It's not really an East Coast accent thing, but
yeah, what is that? I need to narrow down what that Frenchie or European. What kind of accent is Doring?
It sounds like you'd be, I don't know, it's German? Like, yeah, German or something, or British even, but you don't have the rest of the accent, only on that word, I guess. I've never really noticed it.
I noticed it when I was several beers deep.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you called it out, I think, during the drunk episode a couple weeks ago, and you're the only person that's ever called it out.
And then Shannon was like, oh yeah, he does.
Anyway, Frenchie, do we have any news to get to?
Just what you sent earlier about the safety car.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
And there's a couple other changes that the FIA made basically to kind of make the rules more specific and leave no wiggle room anymore. Because if you change the race director, then you kind of also have to fix the rules, right? Because then if the race director doesn't have rules that are very specific and detailed for them to follow, then they can just make an arbitrary decision like we saw last season.
Yes.
So what the new rules say is that instead of any of the cars, when we're under the safety car, if the clerk of the course considers it safe to do so, and the message "lapped cars may now overtake" has been sent to all competitors using the messaging system, all cars that have been lapped by the leader will be required to pass the cars on the lead lap and the safety car instead of any cars, right? So that makes it more clear. There's no loophole there. And then oddly enough, the FIA also says that for the duration of the podium ceremony and post-race interview procedure, the first three drivers who finish have to wear their racing suits and have to have it done up to the neck.
Yeah, that was that. I think something like that came out. Hickey, was it 2 years ago, or was it this past summer when Lewis was wearing messaged T-shirts on the podium and they got all pissy for no reason?
I think 2020, he was wearing a Breonna Taylor shirt for some podium celebrations, and yes, the olds of the Twitter were upset.
I think that was his point. So I think he succeeded in getting the message across.
Yes, I agree. So, yeah, not much there. Glad they changed those rules or the wording of the rules around. But I guess we can talk Bahrain. Obviously, we're going to do preview or predictions too, but I'll go over it. I'm very happy we have F1, F2, and F3 on the same weekend for the most part this year again. Yeah, I have the schedule up too. Practice starts at 8 a.m., Eastern Friday, and qualifying 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday, the race, 11 a.m. Eastern Sunday. Hickey will be manning our F1 tweeting this weekend while Frenchie and I are down in Texas, but we'll still be watching along for the most part and watching the playback of the race on F1 TV afterwards. So I know we have to preview the race. What are we thinking? I guess we have to do predictions for the race and for the weekend at some point. So, you know, last week we did the kind of overall preview of what's to come with the cars. Oh, I know what we forgot. Testing. And I wanted to really get Matt's opinion on this before we dive into predictions, because you did like your testing thread and then you did another testing thread for this past weekend, I think. So what were your expert conclusions on testing? Because I really like what you do. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I'd say you can definitely make some inferences. Like, for example, Alfa Romeo is going to be dog shit, right?
Yep.
I think we can all kind of just agree that that's probably going to be a fact of life this season. You look at who I think would be top four at this point, it would be kind of same top four we're used to seeing in Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, and Red Bull. And I think given what we've seen in testing as far as their speeds and their abilities to build cars, I think that's who we're going to be keeping our focus on this year. So, and then on the flip side, I think it's kind of a mixed bag from there on out. You know, we can't tell if Alpine actually has a good engine or not. It's kind of, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Haas, I don't know if they were pulling. What was that team from 95 that was a Lola? No, Lola just sucked. Prost, when they like ran stunning laps in testing just to attract a sponsor. I don't know if they're pulling one of those situations. You know, Aston Martin, who knows? AlphaTauri, who knows? Williams, they don't seem too incompetent, but who knows? So, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. I think the top four, I think, is pretty solidly intact heading into the season.
Hickey, sorry. Frenchie, any testing thoughts before we can just dive into predictions? I don't think there's really too much going on otherwise.
No, that's good. I think Hickey nailed it, basically. I think we have seen, if you haven't done sort of a fast, you know, race simulation at this point, then I don't know why you wouldn't have done that. So I think we're seeing the real pace of most of the cars. I doubt they're hiding anything except for Mercedes, who is potentially sandbagging because they love to do that and play mind games. So we'll see. They may not be the third fastest. They may just rock up and be both cars on the front row and blast everybody away, but you never know. We do think that Red Bull and Ferrari and then maybe McLaren can keep up with them, but we'll have to see.
And have you watched Drive to Survive yet? I know Hickey has.
Yeah, I've watched some of it. Not all of it yet.
Good, bad, indifferent. I know Hickey isn't a fan.
I'd say it's not really at this point. I don't know if it ever has been for diehard F1 fans. I mean, it's a good show. It's well produced. But I think it's been, I don't know. It's not as pure as I think real F1 fans would want it to be. And I think Netflix and F1 staff or personnel would admit that.
Matthew?
Yeah, I think it's turning into a bit of a shit show. There's a couple good moments and a couple good insights that you like don't get during the regular season. Like when George gets picked as the Mercedes driver, like that's a cool moment. And a couple other moments like that, but you kind of boil it down. They basically focused 10 episodes on 5 teams. And when Drive to Survive first came out, I feel like they talked to just about everybody other than Lance Stroll for whatever reason. And so you got to hear from all the drivers and all the kind of like each team kind of sort of had their own episode to dive into. And now it's just kind of, what can we drum up at McLaren drama this time and things like that. And I don't know. I try to not read too much into like stuff that happens with Lando, because if I let Drive to Survive influence my opinion about somebody, I feel like I'm falling into the trap. But I kind of left thinking like, oh, Lando's really not that enjoyable of a person to like watch. He's a great driver, and you know, fans love him, but I don't get it, to be honest. So, but then I would be falling into it because he could definitely be edited out of context and things like that. So you just never know. I can't really trust Drive to Survive to give me the kind of the straight and narrow on stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. It was not the best season by any means. I think it's getting worse and worse as we go.
Yeah, so I have not watched any yet, to be totally honest. But the one thing I did find interesting, I was kind of scrolling through Twitter today, is in previous seasons, you know, you'd have a group of editors edit all the same episodes. Well, this year, somebody different edited every episode. And I think that sounds pretty clear from what I'm understanding about like the way there was really no continuity in between the episodes. And I don't know if that had anything to do with how the content turned out. I guess I'll wait and see on that one. But anyway, should we start with season predictions or weekend predictions?
I think go big to small, right? Go general to finish the episode with what's happening this weekend. That's what I would say.
That's what she said. I mean, that's unfortunate for the second one, but
Cody's gonna have a field day.
So, all right, let me pull up my predictions list here for the season ones. Okay, first up, championship driver will be. Go ahead, anybody.
Oh, I thought you were making it dramatic and about to say it.
Oh no, sorry. Go ahead. Anybody can jump in.
I would say that Max is gonna win another championship.
Oh.
I will go with Leclerc.
Okay, we have Max, Leclerc. All right, well, I'm taking Lewis then. I know, it's a cop-out.
Fucking lame.
Constructors' Championship. I'm going to take Red... I have Lewis winning overall. I'm going to take Red Bull. We'll flip it from last year.
I'm going to say Ferrari.
That's Frenchie? What I intended to say. So instead, I'm going to go off the rails a little bit and just say McLaren.
Ooh.
Oof.
Okay. All right. Most improved driver. And I don't think you can say George Russell unless his form improves a lot, because it's just, you know, he's in a much better car now. So I think there's some that automatically are removed.
I see Perez being more competitive this year, being a big improvement to get more on pace with Max this year.
I will take Nick Latifi.
Yeah, I feel like it's a tough question because, like, Frenchie's is good because we expect Red Bull to still be good.
Yeah.
But I feel like if Latifi becomes the most improved, it's probably because Williams became the most improved.
Fair.
So does that mean I'm probably picking the most improved team at that point then? Because it'll probably be Tsunoda, maybe.
Okay. All right. Order of the top five constructors. So this is kind of playing off of what Hickey and I did last year, where we went through all 10.
I can't type that out, but yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot to type out. We'll okay. Casually refer back to this one. I'm going to go with Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, and fifth overall, I will take Alpine.
I'll go Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, and AlphaTauri.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so I still have to stick with my pick of McLaren as the Constructors' Champion. Hopefully they get their brake duct cooling problems fixed. But let's say McLaren, then Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, and I think Alpine is probably the fifth as well.
Both pretty high on Alpine. Does it annoy you that, like, Mercedes shows up to the test with basically no side pod?
Yes.
And the internet freaks out like, ha, they did it again. Look how good they are at everything they do. They're so great. It's like, we don't know if this is going to work or not. Like, calm down for a second. This could be, like, the worst thing ever designed on a car.
It's bold. It's a bold take, but the internet was very annoying with it.
Yeah, everyone just assumes because it's Mercedes, you're right, that it's going to be magic and that everyone else is wrong, like that they should have no side pods because Mercedes has such a history of winning. But like you said, this could be the downfall of that team, possibly, or they might just really suck at the beginning of the season and have to kind of converge with the other designs.
Anyways, I thought that was really annoying.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going
to come on the episode and I just like spew my negativity.
This is the most toxic F1 episode in quite some time. Probably since the last time you came on.
Why aren't you guys more toxic then? Come on.
We're trying to not be like F1 Twitter.
Yeah.
Ugh. God.
F1 Twitter's might be the worst place on the internet right now.
I just got compared to F1 Twitter.
No.
I need to quit podcasting.
No. You're nowhere close to that, but we just try to keep it only positive. Except when we bash on Mazepin.
Boo!
Yeah,
we can trash Mazepin. But...
those are my favorite.
Gunther Steiner gets out scot-free.
Yeah.
I've only seen the TikTok of that, but I can't wait to watch that actual episode.
Those are my favorite moments.
Oh.
Okay, will we have any races canceled this year?
Yeah. And I picked which two I think it's going to be.
What are you thinking?
Okay, let's hear it.
I think we're going to lose Baku and Hungary because of their position in the world. They're too close to Russia and the conflict going on in Ukraine. Hungary borders Ukraine, and then Baku is in Azerbaijan, which borders Russia.
I would say the Hungary one kind of makes sense. Baku is not really near, is it? It borders the Black Sea?
Yeah, it's not near Ukraine, but it borders right up to Russia. So I don't know. We'll see what kind of... I'm worried about more aggression, but I don't want to talk about that.
No, feel free to. I thought this was...
Let's go full toxic.
Never mind. Yeah, I don't know. I think Canada's always iffy.
Yeah.
Although I think Quebec is kind of strayed away from the Ontario politics a little bit, from what I've read, and that Quebec is easing a lot of stuff. So I think Montreal should be okay, finally. China still worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just saw yesterday their COVID cases are going way up with Omicron. So I just don't know. So I would say yes, but I just couldn't tell. I'd say there's a couple, like Hungary, China, Montreal are a little worrisome, but you just never know.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Australia again, like, who knows?
Yeah, I'm also going yes on this one. As much as I don't want to agree with you guys and want to say no for to be different, I'm still going yes on this one, too. All right, we've got a couple fun ones to round out the season predictions. Yes, Frenchie?
Didn't you have most improved team and team to regress, too?
Oh, yes, sorry. All right, okay. Team to improve the most, and then we will do team to plummet the most. So most improved team,
I'd say... Oh, go ahead.
I will say Haas is the most improved team this year. Why not? And I have no reasoning to go off of that other than I wanted to say that.
When you're DFL, you have nowhere to go but up.
Yep, exactly. Let's categorize this by number of places they jump.
Okay. I like that as the biggest cop out. I'm going to go AlphaTauri.
Frenchie?
I think Alpine is going to be pretty solidly up there this year.
Okay. Team 2 plummet the farthest from their 2021 standings.
I will say Mercedes.
Damn. Frenchie?
I think Aston Martin is going to be terrible.
But that was what I wanted to go with.
Sorry, Mike Crack.
I understood that reference.
I will go with Alfa Romeo, even though they weren't good last year. Kind of really no one else to no one.
What are they doing, going from 8th to 10th?
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not picking out
start the races anymore.
I'm not picking Alpine. I'm not picking Mercedes was picked. Frenchie just picked Aston Martin, which was my other one. Red Bull's not going to do it. Williams.
I love how this is just shit on host picks.
Yeah, good god, this is supposed to be positive and we're being toxic. Okay,
I was invited on.
Yeah. Host made a mistake.
We recorded in 2.5 hours.
Yes. Okay, so let's see. Next up, total number of times that Christian Horner goes full Karen mode this year. And this will be judged on when social media pulls out the Karen Horner memes.
Who? Oh, jeez. That's going to be every time he talks.
Okay, pick a number. I'll try to write this down throughout the year.
69,420.
Okay, all right. Frenchie?
I said 8.
I'm going to say 15.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, friggin' Cody's just going to like start tweeting it every 3 minutes.
Cody, all right. Cody whines every day. So Cody's answers are not allowed to be counted in the Karen Horner counter. Okay. last prediction as we get sort of back on track here. So as you know, everybody was calling for Michael Massey to be fired, except Red Bull after the season last year.
They're going to hire him. Watch them hire him.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be a two-part question. Will Red Bull hire Michael Massey this year? And B, how many races into the season before race control makes maybe a questionable decision, will you see people calling for Michael Massey back in charge?
I put 2. I think it's going to happen in Australia. Something's just going to happen in Australia, and they're going to just say they want Massey back because he's Australian.
Isn't Jet a second?
Oh, I thought, yeah, but then the third one is, so 2 races and then on the third race.
Oh, he's going to make it 2 races in the third race. Okay, well then, by that, I'll go 0.
Who is it? The two guys that are doing
Bahrain,
it?
Bahrain, he's sunk.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I will go with 16. I'm going to say we're going
to make it almost the whole season before the new...
What? What?
Yeah. The new listen, guys, you guys get criticized.
You guys took 0 and 2. I can't take 1, and I, you know, 3. Like, I mean, I guess I could take 3. And that pretty much covers me the rest of the season. But you know, I'm not thinking logically here. I'm very tired. And why not? Let's just have some fun. This is predictions. It's fun. No. Everybody knows I'm not going to predict correctly anyway.
I get 69,420 on an answer.
How ridiculous is it going to be when people start asking for him back after the hate? And the just like death threats basically that he was getting. And now they're going to be like, oh no, these new guys are worse.
Can't use logic with F1 Twitter.
Yes, very fair there. Also, make sure to join our Grid Rival F1 Fantasy League. There's a good amount of people in there already trying to keep up my title defense in Fantasy Formula 1. Still don't understand how that happened last year, but I will...
That margin was huge, though. Like, you didn't just win by accident.
I won by 1,500 points.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how the rest of the league could be so incompetent. But I guess that's what you get when the league doesn't give out prizes. So, like, nobody probably cared. So, you know.
That was some shame.
It is what it is there. But, all right. We'll wrap it up there. guys, enjoy the racing this weekend, and everybody have a lovely weekend of racing. Just kidding. We still have to do Bahrain predictions. So we'll do good, bad. Is there any, what else do we want to do? Will a Haas make it out of Q1 and surprise top 10? Okay, so first up, Hickey, your good pick for the weekend.
I'm going to go with my champion. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc is going to have himself a good day.
Frenchie?
I think Alonso is going to have a good day.
I will say that Alex Albon is going to have a good day in his return to Formula One. Okay, bad for the weekend. Frenchie?
Let's go with... No, it's not fair to pick Bottas. Never mind. let's go with George Russell. I think he's going to struggle.
Okay.
At first.
Right. Hickey?
I am going to say that Checo Perez doesn't have the best day.
Okay. I am going to take Lance Stroll. Let's start the Lance Stroll fun early. He is not going to make it out of Q1 this weekend.
What do you do to you?
A lot. Okay. Good, bad. What was the third? This is probably an easy one, but we'll keep it in there for the first couple weeks. Will a Haas car, that's Kevin Magnussen or Mick Schumacher, make it out of Q1? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Hickey and say yes. Okay. One of them.
Okay.
Not the other one.
I pretty much figured we would all say no there, so that was unexpected, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay. Surprise driver to make it into Q3, top 10 start.
I will say Lance Stroll.
Okay, very. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. Frenchie?
I'm trying to think of who would be surprising to get into the top 10 because there's so many people I think that could be now. I think the midfield got closer.
Yes.
So let's see. Let's go with Albon, your pick to have a good weekend. I think he could make it in the top 10.
All right. I will take Yuki Tsunoda. I think did we pick him today, or was that for the season?
Item is most improved.
Okay. Anything else about this weekend that we need to talk about? Any other preview or prediction? How long into the first practice will it take for them to talk about Mercedes' lack of side pods?
Like right after they introduce the race.
Yeah, seriously. It'll be like, have you seen Mercedes' new side pods? Will it lead to an advantage? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be quicker that we realize the side pods aren't exactly the greatest thing of all time either.
You made fun of Christian Horner, but how long until Helmut Marko makes a really ignorant comment?
Ooh, 16 minutes.
When's his first interview? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
What was that awkward silence?
I had a internet lag, so I was just letting it catch back up so I can edit this out and end the episode.
We just stared at each other.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it awkward. No, I'll edit that out. I could tell my internet was lagging for a quick second. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, now we can end the episode. Everybody enjoy all the racing this weekend. I think there's like every racing series in the world races this weekend. So everybody have a lovely weekend of racing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.